In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. There was a wedding that made the news big time earlier this year. Do you remember it? It was a wedding that took place in England. The wedding of Prince Harry and the American Meghan Markle. And boy, what a television spectacle it was. How many of you watched that? I just saw a few clips of it on YouTube. But it had the world's attention. You know, dignitaries were there. Pop music stars were there. The famous, the wealthy were there. But you know what? In the clips I saw, I didn't notice any of you being there. Why was that? Why weren't you there at the wedding of Harry and Meghan? Could it be that you didn't get an invitation? Could it be that you, like I, were nobody in the royal eyes? So why in the world would you be invited to the wedding? Well, don't feel let down. Don't feel insulted. Don't feel like you are inferior to all the dignitaries and royalty that gathered for the wedding. Because you see, you have been invited to an even greater wedding. You have been invited to a celebration that will encompass the entire universe, a celebration where angels and archangels and the saints of old and the saints from this congregation who have gone off to be with the Lord shall lift their voices together in praise and thanksgiving and song to the triune God. You have been invited to the great wedding banquet of the Lamb. The theme of a banquet shows up in today's Old Testament reading from Isaiah 55. There the invitation is given. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. And Isaiah goes on to identify this covenant with the Son of David, with the Christ, who will call a nation, that is the Gentiles, that he did not know, and a nation that did not know Christ shall run to him because of the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, who has glorified his Son. How would you like to be able to go to the grocery store and get whatever you wanted without having to pull out your credit card or open up your checkbook or your wallet? Well, the Food Lion on Startown Road is running a special today from 10:31 to 10:34. So if you go over there now, you can get all that free. But you got to be there on time. This is the paradox of the gospel. We do not work for our salvation. Salvation, right relationship with God, is not based on anything we do, anything we pay. It's not based on how much money we give to the church or what we do for the well-being of the church. Rather, it is based on Christ himself, his work, his wealth, Though he was rich, he made himself poor for your sake, Paul writes, so that you might become wealthy in the things of God. You see, in God's eyes, you are important. In God's eyes, you are beloved. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what you look like. Your age doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in. It doesn't matter that you wear size 17B shoes. What counts is faith in Christ. Because faith in Christ, the Holy One of Israel, the one who shed his blood on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, the one in whom you were clothed in holy baptism and wrapped in the garment of his righteousness. This faith is what entitles you, I will say, to come to the banquet as a welcome guest. In today's parable of the wedding banquet in St. Matthew 22, let's identify some of the characters. Well, the king who gave a wedding feast is God the Father. The son who is going to be married to the bride is God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the servants who call those invited to the wedding feast are the prophets, the evangelists, and ultimately behind them, the Holy Spirit, who calls through the gospel, calls people to repentance and faith, to trust not in themselves, but in Jesus, his blood, his righteousness, his perfection. There were those in today's parable who really wanted nothing to do with the royal wedding and the banquet that would follow. They were invited. They would not come. The king sent other servants to say, "I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast." Marriage, what is marriage? But they paid no attention, and they went off. "I've got to tend to my farm. That's more important than attending the king's wedding feast. I've got to attend to my business. After all, a guy has to support himself and his family, doesn't he? That's more important than this wedding banquet." And then others seized the king's servants. They mocked them. They humiliated them. They treated them shamefully, and some they even killed. What does the king do? Again, this is a royal insult. This is a slap in the face of the dignity of the king. This is to spit in the face of the king who invites. He's angry. He sends his troops. He destroys those murderers and burned their city, which actually did happen about 40 years after Christ was raised again, when Jerusalem was besieged and destroyed by Roman armies because the people did not recognize the time of their visitation. Those who reject the invitation will not have a place at the banquet, not because God denies them that place, but because they themselves deny themselves that place. They think there are things more important, infinitely more important. If anyone wants to be damned, God will damn well let them be damned. You see, the grace of the gospel is for all. Christ died for all, that all might live. If we repent, are brought to faith in Christ, and are enabled to stand in that faith, it is no work of ours that makes this possible. It is entirely the work of the Spirit, who worked through the means of grace to bring us to faith and keep us in that faith. If we are damned, it is our own damned fault, because we resisted the grace of the gospel. There were more important things than the gospel in our estimation. I can do nothing to save myself, and yet in this life, the grace of God, which comes to us in preaching and water in the Word and the sacrament of the altar, these things can be resisted. These things can be belittled. They can be despised. But to do that is to break the third commandment, which really encompasses all the means of grace. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and His Word, but gladly hear and learn it. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise the sacrament of the altar, but gladly partake of it, gladly receive Jesus' body and blood. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise our baptism, but daily through contrition, repentance, and faith, dwell in our baptism that a new man might arise in Christ to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Okay, there's a little twist in the parable. The wedding feast is ready, and what the king does is send his servants out into the highways and byways and call those who are not worthy to gather the good and the bad, as the parable is told elsewhere in the gospel, to gather the lame and the sick, the prostitutes, the drunks, the lepers, not the high society folk that you would think would be invited and gladly participate in a royal banquet. So the servants went out into the road, the highways and byways. They did the king's bidding, and behold, the wedding hall was filled with guests. What a joyous time of celebration. So the king comes in to survey the wedding hall, to look over the guests. You know, he's happy they're there, but whoa! He spots a man who was not wearing a wedding garment. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense unless you understand some of the practices of our Lord's day. When a wedding was held, it extended over a period of several days. And one of the things that was commonly done was that the father and mother of the bridegroom would supply the guests with clothing to wear over the course of the wedding. Now, they didn't come dressed in their own finery. They wore the finery that the mother and father of the groom provided. So here's this guy at the wedding feast, and he doesn't have on a wedding garment. The king says to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" Or, "Hey, bud, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? Didn't you know you had to have a wedding garment to participate in this banquet?" And the guest says nothing. He's probably struck to the core of his being by the fact that he has no business being there. He's speechless. Who can argue against the king? Who can argue against God? The king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." The place of outer darkness is hell. When Jesus uses those words, weeping and gnashing of teeth, or whenever else they are used in the scriptures, that refers to the torments of separation from God. We don't know what happened to this man. You know, why he didn't have on a wedding garment other than he did not want to wear it. He came dressed up in his own finest clothing. He may have worn a silk suit. He may have had on a tux. He may have been wearing a pair of $2,000 shoes. But it wasn't good enough because he rejected the wedding garment that God intended to provide to him. "No thanks, I kind of like what I've got on here. I'm fine. Someone else can have it, not me. I don't need it." There can be those in the church, the church visible, who lack a wedding garment. They think that they can appear before God in a righteousness of their own, a righteousness that they themselves produce. And they trust in that righteousness rather than the righteousness of Christ. And that is a sad thing. Remember the book of Revelation? Who are these clothed in white robes and waving palm branches? Who is this great multitude? These are those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, Jesus is not only the King's Son, he is not only the bridegroom, but he is also the wedding garment. Clothed in the righteousness of Christ alone will we be found worthy to participate in that great final wedding banquet, that time of celebration and joy when all things are made new, when death and hell are done away with as far as we are concerned, because we, by God's grace, will have a place at the feast for the sake of Jesus, his blood, his righteousness, the forgiveness and salvation he won for us by his life and death and his resurrection. Jesus is the wedding garment. Clothed in Christ, you are welcome at the wedding. But here's something else for you. Jesus is also the oxen and the fat calves that have been slaughtered. Yeah, at the king's command. Jesus was the sacrifice offered up to God by Jesus himself to make atonement for the sins of the world. Now, I know this is a little switcheroo, but think of it this way. When you come to receive Christ's body and blood, you are receiving what is figuratively described for you in today's gospel as the oxen and the fatted calf. You are participating in the wedding feast here as clothed in the righteousness of Christ Through repentance and faith, you present yourself at the altar and receive Jesus. Jesus in his body and blood given and shed for you. You come not to earn any merit with God. No, Jesus, it's by his merits that you are enabled to come. You come because you're hungry, because you know your need, and because you like banquets, particularly the greatest banquet of all, the one that puts the celebration of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle to shade. Because this banquet that Jesus speaks of begins here on earth, and it continues in the new heavens and the new earth for all eternity. Every time you come to church and gladly hear the word, you're responding to the King's invitation. Come, all things are now ready. Come to the wedding feast. Every time you confess your sins and look to Jesus for forgiveness, forgiveness found in his word of peace and the absolution, forgiveness that flows to you from Jesus himself, you are being further prepared for that great wedding banquet at the end of the age. It's all wrapped up together. It's like a hall of mirrors where light flashes back and forth from mirror to mirror, and it gets brighter and brighter and more astounding. And lights, our colored lights are there in the mirrors, and how beautiful it is. And then at the center of everything, there is Jesus himself, the bridegroom. And not only are you a guest at the banquet, but you are a member of his bride, the bride of Christ, the Holy Christian Church. So don't feel bad if you didn't receive an invitation to the royal wedding on that. You have received and are welcome through Christ and the great wedding banquet of the Lamb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.